All right, if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now when you read the Word of God, and you're seeking for comfort and for assurance, look for God's shalls. S-H-L-L-S. When God says shall, look for God's shall. There's no assurance in man's will. There's no assurance in our will. The best that a man's will can offer to you and to me is it has to submit to this, if the Lord will. But when you hear the Lord, the triune God of glory, say shall, then you can rest assured God shall bring it to pass. Last time we saw in chapter 25, verse 9, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. This time our text begins in chapter 26, with verse 1, with these words, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. In that day of God's grace and salvation, the gospel day of grace, the day in which we live, in the land of Judah, in the great congregation, in the congregation of the saints, the church of the living God, it shall be sung. That's what we're looking at this time. We're going to look at four verses of this song. The first verse has to do with salvation. The second verse, with mercy. The third verse, grace. And the fourth verse, exhortation. Now first we see salvation, verse 1. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now the first word is we have a strong city. We have. Those of you who've been given the gift of faith by God have this strong city. It's the church of God. Hebrews 12:22. I quote it to you often, especially through these passages. You're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn. That's what we're dealing with here. Now this city is made up. It's not a city like Princeton is a city. It's a city made up of brethren. The brethren are the city. The people of God are the city. And brethren are a strength to each other in this city. Look over at Zechariah chapter 12. It's just before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 12. The last book is Malachi, the one before it, Zechariah. Look over there with me. Zechariah 12, verse 5. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants, do you see that? The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. The inhabitants. Brethren are a family. The inhabitants of this city. We're a family. And we defend each other. And we take care of each other. We pray for each other. We provide for each other. Our strength is unity. The strength of brethren is to be together in unity. One way that we protect each other and we serve each other is by reminding each other of this next glorious truth about this city. The strength of this city is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our salvation. That's the strength of this city. Now, look at verse 1 again. You know the italicized words are placed in the text by the translators. So you can read the King James Version, or translation, without the italicized words, And very often you get a stronger meaning. Now watch this. Isaiah 26:1. We have a strong city. Salvation will appoint walls and bulwarks. That changes the whole meaning of the verse, doesn't it? That makes salvation somebody. Not just something, but somebody. Salvation will appoint walls and bulwarks. Christ, our salvation. He is our salvation. He is a wall. He is a bulwark to us. And our safety and our security is that Christ Jesus is our salvation. He is the city. He is our salvation, the city. Look back at verse 9 of chapter 25. The song begins in chapter 25, and here in verse 9, we see that it's about Him. It's about Him. Listen, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. The Lord's salvation. The Lord Jehovah's salvation. I showed you last time when Simeon was in the temple and when they brought the Lord Jesus to him and he held the Lord Jesus. He said, I've been waiting for the Lord's Christ. The Lord's salvation. And when he held Jesus in his hands, in his arms, he said, Lord, I have seen thy salvation. Salvation is a person. The mountains, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, that city, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Listen to this next word. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. This is what the Lord says of this city. Turn over back over to Revelation 3 with me. Revelation 3. And while you're turning there, let me give you some words, some names of this city, and some meanings. Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem means foundation of peace. We just sang, Christ is the church's one foundation. He's our foundation of peace. Salem is another name for this city. Salem means peace. Christ is King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Another name for it is Ariel. It means the Lion of God. Christ is the Lion of God. Now watch in Revelation 3. Verse 7 tells us, these things saith He that is holy, He that is true, He that hath the key of David. He's got the key to the gates. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now look down at verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. What our text say? We have a strong city. He said, hold fast that which thou hast, which you have, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him. Now watch this. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Now, skip the italicized. Here's the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Now you see that? The name of the city of my God and the name of my God. New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. The name of this city and his name are one. Look with me at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 30. I'm sorry, chapter 33. Are you there with me? Jeremiah 33:16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is talking about his people. This is the city, the people, the Jerusalem, his people. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The name of this city is the Lord our righteousness. He is. And let me read you Ezekiel 48:35. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord there. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. That's going to be the name of the city. He said, I'm going to give you a new name. The name of the city of my God and my name. The Lord is there. Thou shalt call thy walls. Look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. How can that be? How can we be protected like that and this not any of this violence come upon us in this city? How can that be? Look at the next word. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You see that? We have a strong city. Salvation. Christ Jesus, our salvation, will appoint walls and bulwarks. And He is the wall and the bulwark. Christ's blood is a bulwark. That's what it is, Christ's blood. He's purged us of our sin. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. What Art just read out of 1 John. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. He cleanseth us. And it's against the power of sin. It has no more dominion over you. Christ's righteousness is like a wall of fire that encloses us round about. Judgment can't come upon you. Violence can't come into those walls because His righteousness surrounds this city. Christ's mediation for us, His intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession. He prays to God, He prays the Father, and He brings us together with the Father and Himself. And this is our protection, brethren. Christ's wisdom and power. Limitless, no boundaries to it. His power and His wisdom is our defense. You who've been born of the Holy Spirit of God, who've been given this gift of faith, who's had this word written on your hearts, this is His word to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We have a strong city. A strong city. Right here in the midst of this city is a city that's stronger than this natural city. When this Rocky Hill and then Princeton and New York City and all these cities, when they're gone, this city right here will remain. This city will remain. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Did we in our strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Now the second verse of our song is mercy. The second verse is mercy. Look at verse 2. Acts 26, verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth truth, may enter in. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth truth, may enter in. Open ye the gates. Be turning with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Now Christ Jesus is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man, no sinner can come to the Father but by the Son. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. But the word here in the text is gates, plural. Now, truth is a gate. Truth is a gate. Truth gives entrance, just like a gate gives entrance. Now, we preach one gospel. We preach one doctrine. TULIP. TULIP. Total depravity. Unconditional election. Limited atonement. Or particular redemption. Meaning Christ bought his... He put away the sin of a particular people given him. Irresistible grace. No man can resist the grace of God. The wind blows where it will. You can't see it coming or see it going. But just like that, the Spirit of God comes and has... We've seen something of the wind this past weekend. No man could resist it. The Spirit of God's irresistible. And preservation or perseverance of the saints. But it's all one doctrine. Those are gates into one glorious gospel, one glorious truth. But it's just one truth. They all stand together. They're compacted together. I hear people say, he's a four-point Calvinist. I don't know how that can be. How could that be? You take one of these glorious truths out, and you're giving glory to man in all, in everything. But this is what I'm pointing out to you. We have these many glorious truths, but they stand as one compact doctrine. Now look at Psalm 118. This is a psalm of mercy. So often where you find this word gates, you're going to find the word mercy. That's why I say this is mercy. Open ye the gates. This is mercy. Right here we're talking about mercy to sinners. Now watch this. This is a psalm of mercy. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. That's plural. That's many gates. Now watch this next word. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord. That's singular. Into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. So you see, read it again now. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. And when I go into them, what am I going to do? I will praise one, the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Now there are many truths. There are many gates of righteousness. But Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of all righteousness. He is the focal point of the gates. It doesn't matter where you enter in, how you come in, which of these gates, which of these glorious truths we talk about, they all have their entrance into one gate, the straight gate, Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me give you an example of that. The cause of salvation is the love of God. Totally outside of those, the objects of His love, the love of God. He loves whom He will. It's unchangeable, it's unalterable, it's everlasting love. It's a gate of righteousness, the love of our God. But where are we going to behold the glory? Where are we going to see the glory, this holy love of God? Where are we going to see it? In the gate, Christ Jesus the Lord. We behold the glory, the love of God, one place. It's in one place. It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. The foundation of salvation is the purpose and will of God. The foundation is the purpose and will of God. The God's purpose and God's will is a gate of righteousness. It's a righteous purpose. It's a righteous will. Where are we going to behold the glory of this gate of righteousness? Where are we going to behold it? In the straight gate, in Christ Jesus alone. The source of salvation is the electing grace of God. He chose whom He will and passes by whom He will. The electing grace of God, that's a gate of righteousness. It's righteous for God to choose whom He will. Where are we going to behold this glory? Where are we going to behold it? In the straight gate. He chose His Son. And He chose us in His Son. That's where we behold it. The ground of salvation is the covenant of grace. The everlasting covenant made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Ordered in all things and sure. That's a righteous gate. Where are we going to behold this righteousness of this gate? In Christ. He said, I will give my Son a covenant to the people. The Lord Jesus Christ said, this is the New Testament written in my blood. I lay down my life. I have ordered, I have made this covenant that my Father ordered in all things. I've made it sure to my people. That's where we behold the order and the sureness of this covenant, the glory of it. The security of salvation is the power and wisdom of God. If we're going to know that God's power and His wisdom is righteousness, it's a righteous gate, His power and His wisdom, where are we going to behold the power and wisdom of God? Those who are called Christ is power and wisdom of God to you. We behold it in one gate. So the psalmist says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'll go into them. I'll praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord. There's a bunch of truth, but I'm entering into them in this one gate. Brethren, this is the application. We cannot show any greater mercy than to open up these gates that sinners might behold Christ, the gate, and enter into Him. No greater mercy. That's what God, this song says, open ye the gates. Now why does the Lord say, open ye the gates? Look at verse 2 and the second half of it. That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. God in mercy says, open these gates to all sinners. Don't hold back anything because one sinner's rich or one sinner's poor, because one sinner's male or one sinner's female, because one sinner's black, one sinner's white, because one sinner's a Gentile, one sinner's a Jew. Don't hold back any of this glorious gospel from any. Open these gates to all sinners. Open these gates to all sinners without exception. Why? Because God has an elect people, this righteous nation, this one nation, God's true Israel, is made up of a people gathered from among many nations, brought out from among them, drawn out from among them, and nothing else will draw these sinners out into this one nation than the glorious good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Open these gates. Open them. Open them up to all. That those that I've made righteous, which keepeth the truth, those that I've made to possess it, may enter in. It's because the righteous nation is made up of people out of many nations. Now, turn over to Isaiah 43:5. Listen, this is sure salvation. And because He says this to us, listen to what He says now. Verse 5. Isaiah 43:5. Fear not. Fear not. You got opportunity to open these gates. Fear not. It's difficult sometimes to speak plainly when you know that one to whom you speak may reject it. But this is what He says. Fear not. Why? For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed, thy children from the east, and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I've created him for my glory. I've formed him. Yea, I've made him. You don't know, but that... Be turning to Isaiah 60. We don't know, but that one that I've seen this before. You remember some of those firefighters that Bob used to talk to down. We good friend Bob Morrell worked as a firefighter down in Franklin, and so many times he'd bring firefighters to the services, you know. And there's been ones that would just vehement. I don't even know how to say it. It's just hatred towards God, just passionately hating what he would be saying to them. And now there's some of them sitting right down there. Every time the gates are open, they're there. They enter the city, and they're hearing this glorious good news and rejoicing in it. We never know the one to whom we speak may be one that he's called by his name in the everlasting covenant of grace. And it's not that we're going to persuade them. It's not that he just said, all you got to do is just open these gates. Declare Christ the straight gate. And whatever side of this diamond that you're declaring, whatever one of these gates you're declaring, declare him. Open the gates. And he said, I will bring them. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. But look at this. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. Listen how he describes them. The fir tree, the pine tree, the box elder together. All different kinds of trees he's going to bring in to this place. He's going to do it to beautify the place of my sanctuary, he said. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. He walks in his sanctuary. He walks in this city. It's the place of his feet. And he said, I'm going to bring in all these different kinds of fragrant trees that I've made right. I'm going to bring them in to beautify my sanctuary. I'm going to compact them together with every other joint to supply what every other joint needs so that I beautify my place. So open these gates. Verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. One day they're mad and they afflict you, but the next day they're going to come bowing down and saying, thank you for teaching me this gospel. Watch him. He says, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Look down at verse 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. You here who've been given a new heart and faith and repentance and to trust on Christ, you know what you are, says our God. You know what you are? All righteous. And you know what you are collectively as this city of God? All righteous. All righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That's why he says, open up these gates. You listen to this. Let me just give you an application here for this. Listen to this scripture. This is what the scripture says about our God. Our God reserves mercy for thousands. As long as there's mercy reserved, as long as there's still a remnant left of these thousands that he reserves mercy for, he says, fear not. Open up your gates and fear not. I will bring them. I reserve mercy for them, and I will bring them. If we walk in that constant realization, in the constant realization that he is right now reserving mercy for thousands, we can speak boldly as we ought to speak. That'll give us boldness to speak. I believe, I'm convinced, a man who won't speak boldly as he ought to speak don't really believe it. This is our God. He reserves mercy for thousands. All right, here's the third verse. Irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. Verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt. Now this is what we saw last week. This is how I began the message. It shall be said. We will be glad. We will rejoice in His salvation. It shall be sung. This song shall be sung. Why? Because thou wilt. Because He will. He will keep in perfect peace. Our God will keep us in Christ, the Prince of Peace. Christ is our peace with God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, but He made His Son who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And He gives us this faith to rejoice in this grace wherein we stand, and we have great peace with our God. Christ is our peace. Christ has perfected peace for His people. He is the perfection of peace. God put us in Christ. God, of God is Christ made unto you peace. And He says here, that will keep Him in perfect peace. He'll keep you in Christ our peace. That is our perfect peace. Christ is. Who's He going to do this for? Look down at the verse again. Verse 3. For him whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed means to be fixed. It means to be established. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid, the psalmist said. But I see such frailty in myself. I don't see any perfect peace in myself. My peace is so interrupted. The peace of mind is interrupted. I don't have any perfect peace in me. How is it that I can be said to be fixed on Him? Now listen to the strength. Thou wilt. Thou wilt keep Him in perfect peace. Fix your thoughts upon this word. Thou wilt. Fix your mind upon Christ. Upon His blood. Upon His righteousness, upon His intercession, upon His providence, His power. Faith is not you looking to your faith. Being fixed is not looking to you and saying, oh, but I see such frailty in me. Faith is not looking to your faith or your strength or trusting in you. Faith is trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. In Him is perfect peace. Paul said, now to Him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's how He's going to do it. In this city, in this mountain, that's how He's going to do it. Through the preaching of Jesus Christ. And here's how. According to the revelation of mystery. You're just sitting here listening. Your mind's here and there. And so, and He says, He turns on the light again in your heart, and He fixes you in the heart by revelation, and it's just like you see Him. It's just like you, and He fixes you on Him. He fixes your eyes on Him. He fixes your heart on Him. He fixes your mind on Him. He establishes you, because He's got the power to do that, and He does it through this gospel, through the revelation of Christ, the mystery of God. And He won't allow anybody to be ashamed who trusts Him. Why won't He? Why is this a sure word? Why? Now get this. Look at the end of verse 3 there. The end of verse 3. Because He trusteth in thee. That's the assurance. because you trust in Him. That's your assurance. Now make sure you understand that. It's not talking about you. Not talking about your trust, because you trust in Him. Let me Psalm 25. Turn there with me real quick. Let me show you this. I want you to see David's prayer, and you'll find this throughout the Psalm. This gives us a few cases of it right here. But in Psalm 25, the believer's prayer and our confidence and our assurance that God is going to keep us is because, for the sake of, the honor of His name. Because He said He would. Because you trust in Him. Now watch David. Psalm 25, verse 2. Oh, my God, I trust in Thee. I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Look down at verse 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let not me be ashamed. Why? Because I put my trust in Thee. If I put all my trust, if you fathers sitting in this room, if one of your children come to you and they say to you, Dad, I've heard you say, I can trust you. I've heard you tell me you're going to provide for me. I've heard you tell me, according to your word, you're going to keep me and preserve me and provide for me. Now, Dad, I've put all my trust in you. Now, don't let me be ashamed, because I'm trusting you. I'm trusting what you said according to your word. I'm trusting you. Let me not be ashamed now. You're going to provide everything that you said you would provide for that child, because your word is on the line. Your name is on the line. Who you are is on the line. And that child has come to you and has said, I believe you. Now I'm just trusting you. That's why the believer can be assured that God will perform His word, because you've put your trust. All your eggs are in one basket. You've put all your trust in Him. Look over at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 23. We might let our children. We might not fulfill our word to our children, but not Him. Watch this, Isaiah 49:23. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. You won't be ashamed. Why? Because you've put your trust in Him. Because you've put your trust in Him. That's a good word. He keeps us going with His song on our lips, like a swimmer through that water. Like we saw last week, God the Holy Spirit, He quickens, He regenerates, He renews, He refreshes. He continually makes us sing this. Father, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. And here's why. Because he trusts in You. Because he trusts in You, Father. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Now here's the fourth verse. This is the verse of exhortation. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. This is our song. Trust ye in the Lord forever. If you've never trusted in the Lord, if you've never trusted in Him, I pray He'd give you grace this hour, tonight, right now where you are, in your heart, without wiggling a finger or toe, He would give you full assurance to trust in the Lord. Flee to Christ, the city of refuge, this strong city. Christ is God's salvation for His people. He's the wall. He's the bulwark of protection for His people. Salvation will appoint these walls. This fortress of salvation will appoint these bulwarks and these walls. He says, for me to tell you, to open the gates to you. Which I've been trying tonight to open these gates to you. So you can behold Christ the straight gate. And He tells me to behold, to tell you, the gates are open. The gates open. It's open. Christ the way. There's a way to the Father. There's access to the Father. Christ Jesus the Lord. Come by faith in Him and have boldness to enter in. Having your bodies washed, your conscience purged, being made a new creation in Him. You can come. How do I know I can? Do you trust Him? Do you? I just don't know how to say it, but when you do trust Him, you will trust Him. When He makes you to trust Him, you will trust Him. You will sing this song. You will be glad in His rejoicing when He makes you to be glad in His rejoicing. And He'll keep you there. He will keep you there. Now look at the next word. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust Him now and don't ever stop trusting Him. No matter what. It doesn't matter what comes about. No matter what the situation is. Trust Him. You know, your hands might be tied where you can't do anything with your hands. Your feet might be nailed where you can't do anything with your feet. Your body may be perishing to where you can do nothing with your body. Your flesh may be shriveled up to where you can't do anything. You have no power, no strength, no nothing. But you can trust Him. You can hang there with your hands nailed and your feet nailed, and you can say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's trusting Him. That's all He says for you to do. That's all He says for you to do. Trust Him. Forever. Forever. Why? Look at the next word. Because in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust Him everlastingly because in Him is everlasting strength. Trust Him forever because in Him is strength forever. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Now His word is certain. This is what He says. Isaiah 26:1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Somebody's going to sing this. That tells me somebody shall sing this song. Are you going to sing it? Are you that one? Are you one of that number that's going to sing it? It shall be. He's going to make sure somebody sings this. Is there any needy sinner here that's going to sing this song? Are you the one of whom He's speaking that shall sing this song? Will you sing this song? Let me ask you something. Do you wonder why the Lord says this song shall be sung? You wonder why we sing? When we come into this place, you ever wonder why do we sing? We begin the service and we end the service by singing. You ever wonder that? Why we do it? Why will He have this song to be sung? Well, one reason is you may not feel like singing. You may not see the point in singing. But this sinner right here, me, I need for you to sing this song to me. I need to hear you singing this glory of God to me. I may not feel like singing. I may not think I can sing. I may not can carry a tune. But my brethren sitting here around me need to hear the words of this song sung to their hearts. And you need this song sung to your heart. That's why we sing. That's one reason. But I'll give you another reason. And this is an even better reason. I looked up joyful noise today. And you know, in every case in Scripture where you find it, this is what you find. Make a joyful noise unto God. Sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. I will sing of mercy and of judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. You see, he wrote the words to this song. He put the melody in your heart to this song. He performed the work. He performs the works that we sing about in this song. And he says, because of my grace, this song shall be sung. Because I've created him for my glory. I've created him to hear him sing to me, the Lord said. What are we going to say to that? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. What are we going to say to that? Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. All right, let's sing it.